دارم یه وقت از شاکی محمد اختصر نور الله مرکده تایتل ایز قبروں میں جا کے دیکھ تو نقشے بتان آب و گل قبروں میں جا کے دیکھ تو نقشے بتان آب و گل دونوں جہاں تباہ ہیں جس نے دیا ہے ان کو دل دونوں جہاں تباہ ہیں جس نے دیا ہے ان کو دل ظالم نہ کر حیات کو نظر بتان سنگ دل ظالم نہ کر حیات کو نظر بتان سنگ دل دونوں جہاں تباہ ہے جس نے دیا ہے ان کو دل قیمت حیات کی نہ تھی جب تک محض تھی آب و گل قیمت حیات کی نہ تھی جب تک محض تھی آب و گل لذت زندگی نہ پوچھ لذت زندگی نہ پوچھ جب سے ملا ہے درد دل ظالم نہ کر حیات کو نظر بتان سنگ دل خالق دل پہ دوستو خالق دل پہ دوستو جس نے فدا کیا ہے دل خالق دل پہ دوستو جس نے فدا کیا ہے دل کہتے ہیں اس کو اہل دل کہتے ہیں اس کو اہل دل سارے جہاں کے اہل دل کہتے ہیں اس کو اہل دل سارے جہاں کے اہل دل قیمت زندگی میری قیمت زندگی میری تیری خوشی پہ منحصر قیمت زندگی میری تیری خوشی پہ منحصر ورنہ ہے خاک تن میری ورنہ ہے خاک تن میری ننگے جہان آب و گل ورنہ ہے خاک تن میری ننگے جہان آب و گل دیکھ کسی کی خاک پر دیکھ کسی کی خاک پر ہستی نہ اپنی خاک کر دیکھ کسی کی خاک پر ہستی نہ اپنی خاک کر کیوں قبروں میں جا کے دیکھ تو قبروں میں جا کے دیکھ تو نقش بتان آب و گل قبروں میں جا کے دیکھ تو نقش بتان آب و گل فانی بتوں کا غم نہ کر فانی بتوں کا غم نہ کر دیکھ یہ غم ہے عارضی
فانی بوتوں کا غم نہ کر، دیکھ یہ غم ہے عارضی، فرحت دو جہاں جو ہے، فرحت دو جہاں جو ہے، اس غم جاویداں سے مل، فرحت دو جہاں جو ہے، اس غم جاویداں سے مل، رہتا ہے بدگمان کیوں، رہتا ہے بدگمان کیوں، جہل سے اپنے دور دور، رہتا ہے بدگمان کیوں، جہل سے اپنے دور دور، جا کے کبھی تو ایک بار، جا کے کبھی تو ایک بار، حضرت اہل دل سے مل، آ کے تو ایک، آ کے کبھی تو ایک بار، حضرت اہل دل سے مل، دل کو ملا ہے درد دل، صحبت اہل درد سے، دل کو ملا ہے درد دل، صحبت اہل درد سے، ورنہ تھا ناشنا دل، ورنہ تھا ناشنا دل، اختر ہمارا آب و گل، ورنہ تھا ناشنا دل، اختر ہمارا آب و گل، قیمت حیات کی نہ تھی جب تک محض تھی آب و گل، لذت زندگی نہ پوچھ جب سے ملا ہے درد دل، فانی بوتوں کا غم نہ کر، دیکھ یہ غم ہے عارضی، فرحت دو جہاں جو ہے، اس غم جاویداں سے مل، رہتا ہے بدگمان کیوں، جہل سے اپنے دور دور، آ کے کبھی تو ایک بار، حضرت اہل دل سے مل، دل کو ملا ہے درد دل، صحبت اہل درد سے، ورنہ تھا ناشنا دل، اختر ہمارا آب و گل، دونوں جہاں تباہ ہے، جس نے دیا ہے ان کو دل، ظالم نہ کر حیات کو، نظر بتان سنگ دل، قبروں میں جا کے دیکھ تو، نقش بتان آب و گل،
احمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله العلي العظيم. مفتي علي بايس اب لورغت، السلام عليكم، we're supposed to have conducted the majlis tonight but some mashwara came up, so fortunately he wasn't able to come. Inshallah, we'll listen to a few of these ash'ar and then we will read from Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi's kitab something regarding our islah. So here the title of the poem is Qabro mein jaake dekh dekh lo nakshe buta abu gil. Go to the qabristan in the grave and look at the forms of those ladies, the beautiful ladies who were in this world. Now they have become water and sand. You were running after them, you were wild after them, you thought your whole life, your object of life was these women, and the way you ran after them, the way you looked at them. But look at the final condition, what it will be. Dono jahan tabah hai jisne diya hai unko dil. A person's both lives are destroyed, who has given those people his, those women his heart, who has given his heart in the wrong place, he has lost both his lives. Hazrat says, zalim na kar hayat ko nazare buta sange dil. That a person must not sacrifice his life on these idols, these beautiful dollies, painted dollies. A person must never ever waste his life on these painted dollies, on this woman. A person is destroying both his lives. How is he destroying both his lives? In this world, whoever is fallen in love with another woman, his own married life becomes a adab in this world, a punishment in this world. He has no enjoyment in his life. Ifwani nisa ta'uffu nisa'ukum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you stay away from other women, your woman will remain chaste. Manana Mufti Kanpuri Sahib, Dama Barakatum al-Aliya, the last time he came to South Africa, so he gave the bayan in the Jami Masjid. So he mentioned ajib waqia and story there. He said, whatever you do in life, there's a famous poem, saying in Arabic, kama tadinu tudanu, as you do, so will be done upon you. And hadith got, birru aba'akum tabarrukum abna'ukum. You look after your parents, your children will look after you. Ifu anin nisa ta'ufu nisa'ukum. You are chaste and you look pure, keep yourself pure from other women, your woman will remain chaste. So he says, there was one person, he had just qualified, he had become an alim. And remember, nafs is with every single person. You can be an alim, mufti, sheikh, whoever. But nafs is with the person. Until the end of our life, a person has to continue making effort. Hazrat mentions the story of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, at the time of his death, and his son said, kalima, he said, la ba'adu, la ba'adu, not as yet, not as yet. He said, but his father was like, but at that time, but in his senses, when he woke up, he asked him, I told you to read kalima, he said, not now. He said, no, shaitan came to me. And shaitan is telling me that, oh Ahmad, you have saved yourself from me, you are safe from my clutches. He's saying, not as yet, not as yet. Until the last breath doesn't come out from me, I'm not happy. Only at that time I'll be happy. So till mort, until death, that is why a person can never ever have pride. Because we do not know what our condition will be tomorrow. Allah Ta'ala's system is, if a person, inshallah, he lives on piety, taqwa, Allah will lead him towards piety, lead towards Jannah. But there are examples in history where Allah Ta'ala showed, I am Bainayaz, I don't need you. I am Muqallib al-Qulub, I can change your heart. Imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always making this dua in his sajda, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala Deenik. Oh Allah, the change of heart, keep my heart steadfast on Deen. Because tomorrow the heart can change. How can a person have pride, I'm better than that person? Tomorrow our heart can change also. That's why a person, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, every year in Khanka, I used to read the story of the Shaykh Abdullah Andalusi Rahmatullah Alayhi, the great Shaykh of Iraq, thousands of murids under him. But one second, Allah Ta'ala changed his heart. And because of the little bit of pride came into him, he lost his iman and everything he lost. And then Allah Ta'ala, through his father, gave him that iman again. But this is the system of Allah Ta'ala. So we can never have pride. We do not know our final condition. But anyhow, this alim, he fell in love with a woman. And eventually, he did wrong with her. So the town people came to find out. And they were intelligent people also. They never make a big fuss. But they had a small mashwara. And they decided, how are we going to solve this problem? And in today's time, unfortunately, with many parents, they make a mistake. For example, it comes in, Dami Rahmatullah is mentioned in his time, he wrote. You see, if a boy and girl have fallen in love, get them married quickly, straight away, make the nikah. Because after they say, you're not going to, it comes in a hadith, there's nothing, for 2 lovers, there's nothing better than nikah. So he says, make the nikah straight away. After this, you're going to tell them, no, you must separate, and you try to separate them, get them married to somebody else. They'll be married to somebody else, they'll be having an affair with that person. And their life, they'll destroy the other person's life also. So he says, immediately get them married. And many parents today, because of a wedding function, you wait so many months, we have to get the wedding ready, we have to do this, we have to do that. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you study his life, and the sahaba radiallahu anhu, was simplicity in nikah. And today amongst the local people in South Africa, amongst everyone unfortunately, zina has become common, adultery. The reason for this is, for them to get married is so expensive. And to stay a life of zina and fornication is very, very easy. But you want to get married, you have to pay labola, and so much money it is. Person will think 100 times before getting married. There's no real benefit in getting married. But Islam has made it so easy. Husband, the boy is happy, the girl is happy. You meet each other, you want to get married, straight away you can perform the nikah. You say, I want to get married to you. She say, I accept it. Finish, nikah is done. No need for khutbah. Even though the khutbah is sunnah, we have to do it in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us. But shows how simple in Islam. Mihar, you pay now, you can't pay now, you pay later on. You can't pay a big amount of mihar, you pay 100, 200 then. Minimum mihar. So cheap. And the nikah is taken, you can't pay today, you can pay after 5 years. But then you must pay the mihar. Don't be so cheap also. And I'm just showing you how simple the nikah is. And then walima, so simple. You give one glass of milk, two glasses of milk, walima is finished. So much simplicity. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nikahs were like that day also. His one wife, she was in another country. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said, when you come there, then we'll perform the nikah. He sent a messenger, go and on my behalf, you perform the nikah. He went to perform the nikah, finish. And then they brought the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were going for umrah. And she was also there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to get married. He was in ihram, performed the nikah straight. They never reached Makkah still. They never say, I'm in my ihram still, reach Makkah, Mukarram, let me come and make my umrah. On the way, perform nikah at one place, I can't remember the name of the area. They made the nikah there. They went, they performed the umrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consummated his marriage at the same place. And then he gave walima at the same place. And that Azwajim, that wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she passed away in the same place also. After many years, she came back to the same place and she passed away. But straight away the nikah was performed. So simple. There was no, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was small still. She was 6 years old. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said, oh, when you get big, let's make 3 years, 5 years. Immediately nikah. Ruksati took place after 3 years. They joined together after 3 years. But then there was a boy, girl found, nikah straight away. This was the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person comes, I haven't got money. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never mind, you know some surahs of the Quran. You teach your wife and later on you can pay her the money. Straight, simple. You got no money, nothing at all. Because nikah was supposed to be easy and simple. So that zina can be, we can save ourselves from zina. So this is inshallah, we must try to bring it in our communities also. Many people say, no, my nose will get cut if I have to have a simple nikah. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says, in my house, he said, I think about 20 nikahs I performed in my house, close family members. And he says, the people didn't know whether they were reading 2 rakats of sunnat namaz or nikah was performed. So much of simplicity. Like how much preparations to make 2 rakats of namaz. Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, Mawlana Imam al-Hasan sahab rahmatullah alayhi, what khidmat of deen Allah ta'ala took. And normally a man, behind every successful man is a successful lady, is a lady, a hard-working lady there. They made the efforts. So anyhow, she, as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi came in the house, said, Mawlana Madani is here, let them get married, 2 boys, 2 girls. He performed the nikah. I think he never even told the daughters, he went, he's the father. He performed the nikah, and then he came in the house, he said, you know what, perform your daughter's nikah, he's telling his wife. And then make a ruksati also straight away. She said, no new clothing, like, we have to have new clothing, true so for them, we haven't sewn anything. So there's no clothing for them. He said, what do you mean no clothing? If you told me, I never know they're walking around naked. Should have made clothing for them long time ago. So then anyhow, he performed the nikah. So simple it was. Some nikahs, as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, people got upset with him. How can you have such a simple nikah? You never invite us. And they say, these Maulvis, even the rats starve in their house. Because there's nothing at all. And they pass funny remarks in the road, letters to him. He wrote letters back to them. He said, you know what, please you must punish me. When you're having your nikahs, don't invite me. I never invite you for my nikah. So they wrote back to him that they said, no, you make sure we invite you and force you to come, because we know you don't want to come for our nikahs. Because these are the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much of barakah, so much of blessings. And today people are spending thousands and millions on nikahs. But let's come back to the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simplicity. And you will see how much of barakah in that nikah. How much of blessings Allah will put in there. How much of goodness will come out from that nikah. So this long waiting and months of preparations. This is against the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nikah is supposed to have been something very, very simple. And even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, when she got married, there wasn't a big thing and we had to call family from this country. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, majority of his family was the Quraysh. He never said you have to wait for the Quraysh, the old Makkah Mukarramah must come, give everyone da'wat, and all of this. Simple. A few people were called, come to the masjid, perform the nikah. Simplicity. And there was no, from the girl side, any feeding. This wasn't the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the girl side must feed, which in Urdu they call barat. And these are like some Hindu customs that now the girl side must feed, and that's more important than the wedding, the function itself. If you only have a nikah, a lot of people don't come. But if the meals are there, then they'll come. They say, oh, no, now there's a wedding taking place, we have to go. The nikah is taking place, you say, only for nikah we must come. Like, there's no function. So the main thing is the function. And now the walima, which is the sunnat, that has been left out now. So the people don't worry about the walima at all. And now they come with the new one, they join the boat. So what they do is they say the boy said pay half, the girl said pay half. So we'll have half walima. Like the walima, we call it a walima, so now it's kosher, it's halal. But the boy said pays half, the girl said pays half. So this also is not the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah is that the boy is out of happiness, Allah has given him a bounty, he's given him the wife, so he's giving her dawat for that day to show his happiness. Yeah, if the girl child is giving, they also showing the happiness. They say, hey, shukar, she's leaving the house now, we are tired of her now. So that's a Hindu custom, because they used to be very happy, the daughter left the house, one burden off our heads. So they showing the happiness. Normally at times of sadness, you don't have a party. Somebody passed away in your house, you don't have a party. Your daughter is leaving the house, it's a time of sadness. Now you don't have a big party for the day. Now you must be sorrowful a little bit. So this is the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyhow, I was mentioning another story. This youngster, they got him married. But now because he had the adat and the habit of the other woman. So because of that, this woman was a very chaste woman, a very, very good woman, pious woman. And now he is to come in the house, he is to force her to cook for the other lady. He is to bring the other lady in the house and do wrong with her. And this woman, she tolerated it. The people of the town couldn't see it. Eventually they kicked him out of the town. They sent his wife and everyone away. So somebody went to visit him many years later. Now he had grown old now. And now they were shocked to see that that same woman, who so many years ago, she was like a chaste woman, she was now living in another town with this boy. She had boyfriends. That man was old now, he was in the house. She used to come in the house with her boyfriend. She used to give him one kick out of the house, you stay out of the house, I'll come and call you later on in the house. And this is how she left after the day. So he said, look here, kama tadinu tudanu, as you do, so will be done upon you. You look at somebody else's wife, someone will look at your wife. You stay chaste from other women, you don't look at others, inshallah no one will look at yours. So this is the system Allah Ta'ala has got in the world. We can't understand. And then the mention of Mawlana Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Asad Madani, I think, he mentioned one story also, that there was one person, he used to hit his father. He used to hit his father very, very badly. So he got married and he had children. And he only had daughters, four daughters. So Mawlana said, I was surprised. Because the hadith says, if you treat your parents well, your children will treat you well. And if you make zulam and you do wrong, your children will treat you also wrong. So I used to wonder that, I don't understand, he got four daughters. Now you know sons, so how is somebody going to do wrong to him? He said eventually a time came we saw in our life where his daughter, she took a hold of the father and she dragged him out of the house and she took him one way and she gave him a good hiding and she left him there. He said, I understood now, even daughters, I mean the hadith is 100%, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words can never be wrong. So how we do in life will be done upon us. So if we are looking at other women, we are enjoying ourselves with other women, then eventually the effect is going to hit us back. So if a person looks after his gaze, our Hazrat always mentions, one great benefit is that the minute you look after your gaze, Allah will make your wife look the most beautiful for you. And it's a natural law of, in this world, that if a Hazrat mentions a beautiful example, that of that person, he goes to the shop and he takes his own food with him, his kebabs and his all of these things. And somebody else takes the kebabs. He takes dal roti, simple food. But now if he is looking at the other person's kebabs and he's dressing for it and he's asking that person and he's eating it, and now he comes back home at night and his wife gives him some dal roti again, he's going to get very angry with her. He'll get upset with her. But if he made sabr in the shop and he never eat the whole day, or he ate the very simple food, now when he comes home and he got the dal roti again, what relish he eat it. He enjoy it, because the whole day he wasn't eating anybody else's kebabs and biryani and akhni or whatever. But if he was doing that day, he'll come home, he'll get angry. Anything the wife tells him now, he'll get angry with her. So if we are controlling our desires in the whole day, not looking at other women, you come back home at night, Allah will give you all the enjoyment of all those women in your wife. And the person will get full enjoyment. The enjoyment of Jannah he will get in this world. Even if his wife is ugly, but because he's not looking at anybody else, she looks the most beautiful. And if your wife is the most beautiful, and you are looking around, it comes in the hadith that when a woman emerges from her house, shaitan beautifies her. Shaitan makes her look beautiful. So even though she's not so beautiful, but she looked more beautiful than your wife. Now when you come back at the end of the day and you look at your wife, now you'll find this fault with her, you'll find that fault with her. So those people, sometimes the person thinks, hey, this guy got married to a very pretty wife. You're not supposed to be looking. But now people think that this guy got married to such a pretty wife, how he must be enjoying himself. But all the time he's living in Jahannam with that woman. There's no enjoyment there, because he's using his eyes in the wrong place. And that's only the eyes. Even worse when a person goes towards zina, fornication. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, la taznu, do not make zina, otherwise the enjoyment of your woman will be removed from you. You won't get any enjoyment in your woman after that day. So that's why when a person gets involved in zina, fornication, it's the same thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what's by her is by her also. It's the same thing exactly. It's just the fulfillment of one's desires. As Haji Bhai Patia Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that all women are the same, it's just the packaging is slightly different. See, one is packed in an orange cover, one is in a yellow cover, one is in a green cover. Cover is the same thing. I mean, all the women are the same. But how shaitan deceives a person. So when a person comes out of this year and he is saved, firstly in this world how a person is saved, then a person will get halawat of iman, the sweet taste of iman in this world already. Allah will give it into his heart. Now what enjoyment he'll get in his ibadat, what enjoyment he'll get in his tilawat of Quran. And when we are not getting this enjoyment, it shows because of our weakness of our eyes. We are not looking after our eyes. Now a person doesn't get enjoyment in dua. He doesn't get enjoyment in all other acts of ibadat. And he's making dua also, but the thought of that woman is coming in his mind. He's making sajda also, and that woman is in his heart and his mind. And he's making sajda like in front of her actually. I'm making sajda to that woman. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, any other guna a person does, the heart turns away 90 degrees from Allah Ta'ala. But this guna when a person does, 180 degrees Allah turns away from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The complete opposite direction. So a person is destroying both his lives, life of this world and the life of the Akhirat. In the year after, a person must not be deprived of getting Jannat, of getting the enjoyments of Jannah because of this year. And whatever, if a person controls his gaze, at that time the ulama say, whatever du'as he makes, his du'as are readily accepted. So Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib mentions, this is the tajruba of the Buzrugani Deen, and he says, whatever du'a you make at that moment, because it's a great sacrifice you are making. So that's the time to make a lot of du'as. You make du'a, Ya Allah, this woman, no matter how pretty she is, give me five hurs in place of her in Jannat. See, much, much more beautiful. This woman, you can't do anything with her. But those hurs, see, like it comes in a hadith, that when a person is angry and he controls his anger, then in place of that, Allah Ta'ala will give him a hur in Jannah. He can choose. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call him in front of every single person, and he can choose whichever hur he wants. So, the reason maybe why it's mentioned in the hadith is, normally a person gets angry on the wife, because that's the easiest person to take it out on. The other people you frighten, they'll give you a good hiding. So the best place is, when you are upset, you come home and you take it out on the wife. So why this hadith says that, so a person controls himself and thinks, inshallah, in place of that, I'll get a hur. Allah is giving me, just for a little controlling of oneself, imagine a person is getting a hur of Jannah. And so at that moment, just stop, think to yourself, I'm getting a hur of Jannah. And you don't smile much. Because the wife is thinking now, this guy is fighting with me, suddenly what is he smiling about? And if you ever tell her, then you'll be in big trouble after that, she won't talk to you for the next month. But Allah is giving, a person just thinks, I'm getting a hur in place of this. Rather just make a little bit sabr. So a person is getting dunya, akhirat, everything will be made. Just by a bit of control over himself, his desires, his anger, just a bit of control. And Allah will give a person so much. So Hazrat says, don't waste yourself. You're destroying your heart. You're destroying both your worlds if you are giving your heart to somebody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, there was no qeemat and value in my life. As long as I was sand and water, sand and mud, there was no value in my life. Don't ask, lazzat zindagi na pooch, chab se mila hai dard dil. Do not ask me of the enjoyment of my life when I got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most likely was amongst the tabi'een. Tabi'een and tabi tabi'een. He says that that most of the people of this world have not tasted, they leave this world. خَرَجَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا هَلْ دُّنْيَا وَلَمْ يَذُقْ أَلَذَّ الْأَشْيَا. And they have not tasted the most enjoyable of things. So people ask him, what's the most enjoyable thing in this world? He said, Ma'rifatullahi Azza wa Jal, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most enjoyable. And majority of the people leave this world, they are Muslims. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do ibadat. They'll fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they haven't got recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They haven't got that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the effort of the khanka, why a person comes here, to create that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once that connection is created, and normally it's created from heart to heart, Allah ta'ala passes it. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu stayed in his sohbat, in his company. That connection immediately was built up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who stayed in the company of Sahaba, they became tabi'een. So they also, the connection was built up. But now those who stayed more in the company of Sahaba, they got a much greater connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout the centuries, whoever stays in the sohbat of those people who have got the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah ta'ala will give it to that person also. He says, don't ask what enjoyment a person is getting. And this, Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No person knows what is hidden for them. What and what bounties Allah has given him, the coolness of the eyes. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that every wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets different enjoyment. One wali of Allah, what enjoyment he's getting, another one doesn't understand what he's getting. Allah has created different types of enjoyment in the hearts of the awliya Allah. And now we look at this world and all the enjoyments of this world. Definitely we agree, there are enjoyments. But the enjoyments compared to the enjoyments of what Allah has kept for the awliya Allah, the hearts of the people, it cannot be counted. The example of it, what Buzruq says, is like a person who is nabaligh and a person who is baligh. The nabaligh person is playing with his marbles and is getting enjoyment with his marbles. And he's thinking that the great enjoyment is in here. But he doesn't understand what is the enjoyment of becoming baligh, getting married, having a wife, having children. He can't understand that enjoyment. Why? Because he's not baligh still. You can explain to him, give him bayans, but he'll never ever enjoy it. But when he reaches that stage, and that by a bulugh which comes, it comes automatically. But this baligh, to become spiritually baligh, a person has to make effort for it. Because you can't just become baligh like that spiritually. A person has to make effort. So then a person will understand what enjoyment. Then, like Allama Busayri rahmatullah alayhi says so beautifully, he says, An-nafsu kaptifli. The nafs is like a small baby. It's like a small child. In tuhmilu shabba ala hubbir rada. If you leave the child, he will grow up with the love of that milk. And in the milk, Allah has created a lot of enjoyment. The child enjoys it. So beautiful, so tasty, so wonderful. For him, that's the best food in the whole world. And he thinks there can be nothing better than this. And sometimes the milk, the taste changes also. The mother is eating different foods. There's a different effect on the milk. So he's getting different enjoyments. And he's thinking the only enjoyment is in this. But he doesn't want to get weaned out of that milk. Because he thinks I'm losing out if I come out of that milk. But when tuftimu yanfatimi, if you force him out, and you wean him, and you force him to be weaned, then eventually inshallah he'll be weaned very, very easily. And then he'll cry for a few days. But once that crying comes to an end, the difficulty comes to an end, then you ask him that enjoyment. Now he's eating the biryani, now he's eating the akni, now he's eating the, he's drinking the milkshake, he's eating the ice cream. All the enjoyable things Allah has opened up for him. So many bounties in the world, there are thousands of ni'mats and bounties. Before he had one milk only. This person who is enjoying himself in guna and sin, there's a little bit of enjoyment, we agree. But the enjoyment of the awliya Allah, those who've got connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't ask. He says, don't ask. Na pooch, jab se mila hai dard-e dil. From the time I got the love and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khaliq ke dil pe dosto, jisne fida kiya hai dil. Oh my friends, the person who has given his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kehte hai usko ahle dil, sare jahan ke ahle dil. All the ahle dil, the awliya Allah of the world, they also call him, and they say ahle dil. This person is a person who has got connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person has got a heart. But the real person who is called Ahle Dil, person who has got a heart, is a person who has used his heart in the correct place. This person is called Ahle Dil. Qeemate zindagi meri teri khushi pe munhasir. The value of my life is only confined to pleasing you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Hazrat says that every morning we must make intention. What's the object of our life? And this is one of our ma'amulat also. That every morning a person must think to himself, what is the object of my life? Why have I come in this world? Because majority of the people come in this world and they leave this world, and they never even thought in their whole life once also, why have I come in this world? So amongst the ma'amulat, inshallah we will be printing the kitab soon, ma'amulat, the wazifa kitab. It was printed before, but now inshallah with the intentions, what intentions a person must make. And with this point here, daily a person must make this intention. The first thing Hazrat wrote there was, I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This must be my object of life. And every day a person must renew his intention. And my object to Allah is to please you, to have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to prepare for akhirat, to save myself from jahannam, to get jannat. These are the intentions a person must make. So he says that this is the value of my life. When my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy, then this life is valuable of mine. Wadna hai khak tan meri nange jaha abo gil. He says, otherwise I'm completely valueless. I'm only sand and water, nothing else. What else are we? There's no difference between us and an animal. The animal also is made of sand and water. We are also made of sand and water. We've got no value if we haven't got the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dekh, kisi ki khak par hasti na apne khak kar. Do not waste your life on any sand of this world. Qabro mein ja ke dekh, to nakshe buta abo gil. Go and see in the qabr and look properly there. And what will a person find there? He will only find that the form of water and sand. Because that woman also eventually she comes into skeleton, and the person sees nothing at all day after the day. And that's not only for a woman, but everything of this dunya. Whether it's our money, it's our wealth, it's our business, whatever it is, when a person goes in the qabr, that is the reality of this life. If a person is putting his life in the day, he's the most foolish person. There was one person who passed away, a very big king, and he wrote on his tombstone that I was king so and so. And he says, I lived for 1,000 years. I had 1,000 palaces. I had 1,000 wives. But he says, now death has come and overtaken me. And I've gone into the qabr. And what is the reality of all of this here? There's Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he took Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. And normally in every town you get some place which like the scrap, where all the junk is thrown, all the dirt is thrown, like how we have our municipality areas, where they throw all the garbage and the dirt. So he took me to that place. And he said, oh Abu Huraira, look at the reality of this world. He said, look at all that wonderful, wonderful camels you were riding and the beautiful animals. Today you can see their bones, they are lying in the ground. And today's time we are junk driving our cars, tomorrow you will look at them in a scrapyard. And he says that wonderful food you were eating, lovely, lovely food, Today look at it, the excreta and that stool, that is what it has become of it. And he says that wonderful clothing you are wearing, what wonderful delicate clothing and silk and all different kinds of linen and cotton and whatever wool it was. Okay, today you can see the reality of it. There it's all scattered, thrown about. And he says that that wonderful woman you were running after, the beautiful bodies, how much effort you made on your body, you put this kind of creams and you put this kind of valuable things on it. And there's all the bodies, it's all skeletons there. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, we all stood there and we started crying and we saw the reality of this world. This is what this world is. Then Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi writes, and he says that in this world there are four groups of people. He says, you must decide which group of people are you, from which group are you. He says, there was a ship, it was going to a certain country, and it stopped at a certain island. And this island was very, very beautiful, and it had some nice stones and beautiful, beautiful things. So the captain told them that, you know what, we've come here for a short while, and we'll be leaving inshallah after 1-2 hours. So immediately get off, fulfill your hajat and your needs, and come back on the ship. So the first group were very, very intelligent. They got off the ship, they were not amused by all the stones and all the beautiful things. They never worried about the day. They went, they fulfilled their needs. They had to go toilet, relieve themselves. Whatever work was necessary to get some food, whatever, they gathered it. Came back to the ship. The ship was empty. So the best seats they got, they were the most comfortable, they said. The second group, he says, they went down. They became a bit enamored. And they enjoyed the scenery. And they never realized, hey, we have to go back immediately. After a short while, after some while, they realized, hey, you know what, we are wasting our time here. Let's quickly go back to the ship. Anyhow, they came back to the ship. But now there wasn't so much of place, because all the best places were taken by the first group. So they got some place there, but they were like sitting on the floor, they were but squashed up, they were not very comfortable. And then there was a third group of people who went down, and he says that they looked at all the beautiful gems and stones and pearls and rubies, and they started counting them and putting them together and putting them in bags, and they said, we have to take these things with us. So now they started piling them up, and they're carrying it back to the ship, and the thing is so heavy. But they're carrying it because there's so much of enjoyment in there in that thing. Outwardly it looks so nice. And they came to the ship and they said there's no place at all. Eventually they were pushed onto one corner of the ship. And or the stones right at their foot, on their laps, on their backs. Their backs are aching and they are sore. But now they are forced to carry the stones with them. And they're sitting in the ship with that thing, so much of the difficulty. And he says in the last group there was, that these people became so enamored with the enjoyments of this island, that they forgot even that the ship is leaving. The ship eventually left. And after that, the night, it was coming, it was about night time already, it was getting dark. So now they got worried. Now they can't see anything at all. And they come to the shore of the ocean, and they see the ship has already left. And they turn around, and all these carnivorous animals which come out at night, they all started coming now, and they attack them, and they shred them to pieces. They say, you must think to yourself, which group of people are you? You're also making a journey towards the akhirat. Are you amongst the first group, those people who never get enamored at all with the things of this dunya, and you quickly jumped on the ship, you prepare quickly, and you came back onto the ship? Or are you the second group? You wait when you are young still, you pass your life, you enjoying yourself. Then eventually when I come big now, I'll make tawbah, I'll change my life at that time and make a little bit ibadat. Are you the second group? You are the third group, whose only object of life, you are Muslim also, but your object of life was only this dunya, money. And you go in the qabr and you're taking all of those things. What are you taking? A burden upon yourself. Gunaz and sins you're taking. And the thing is causing more difficulty and more problems for you. Or you are of the fourth group who hasn't even got iman. They are completely destroyed and ravaged and finished. And they left to be killed by the animals. So a person must think, we all are living this world, our life is very, very short, and no guarantee we've got. Every single person thinks, I've got a long life still, inshallah, one day I'm going to die. And they say, when we see our friends, وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ, Quran Sharif says, it will be told to the kuffar, didn't we give you long enough life, which you could have taken lesson, whoever wanted to take lesson, وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ, and a warner had come to you. What are the warners? The ulama say they are different warners. Allah gives us continuous warners in this life, and we must take lesson from each warner. The first warner which came to us was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Sharif. It's the first warner to warn us that your life is very, very short, you are going soon. Then in our own life, there are so many warners. The first warner is when we become baligh. It's the first warner that now you are a life of your child still, you were not mukallaf, you were not responsible. But now you have become baligh, now you are responsible. This is our warning. That remember now you have to be very, very careful. As you grow older, eventually you get a child. This is another warning. That one replacement has come for you now. Soon you'll be leaving this world. When you reach the age of 40 and the first white hair comes out from a person, this is another, it's a warning. Allah is giving you a warning. You look at that white hair which is coming out, it shows now old age has already come to you. Now you don't play fools at all. Now you, very, very soon you'll be leaving this world. And then when you're a child, you get a grandchild eventually. The grandchild says, now your double replacement has come. Now there's no need for you. Your child was there, you had to look after the child. But now your grandchild has come, your child will look after him. There's no need for you at all. This is your real replacement who has come in this world. You'll be leaving this world soon. Now don't play at all, play fools. Don't be affected. And so this is the all the warners which Allah is sending. And the other ulama say also another warner is Motul Aqran. All your friends who are dying, your age they are. And every one of us think we got so many friends. And they also thought they're not going to pass away. They also thought I'm going to live so long. And they were same like us. Yesterday we spoke to him. He had no idea at all. And today he's gone. So tomorrow also we can also be gone. Tomorrow we said we meet to see his so and so brother. He passed away. He's gone, he left this world. And yesterday he was talking to us. Just like how we were talking about someone else, tomorrow can be our turn. So that person who is playing fools and is wasting his life still, he should wake up and reality should come to us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. He says when you go in the qabr, and if a person every day ponders about the qabr, and that is why it is sunnah also, at least once a week, you should go to the qabristan, and we should sit down and ponder, not just go to the qabristan, breathe quickly some coals, and come out. But go to the qabristan and ponder. Look at these people here, and look at the qabristan. Many of our qabristans have got the boards, and they write there the ages of people. And you go there, you see a small baby also, 2 years old. Normally in a qabristan they have a separate area for the babies and small children. 2 years old, newborn, 3 months old. So a person realizes that small children passed away. Then you go, you see one lady 90 years of age, another person 60 years of age, another person 50 years of age. And they all came in this world and they all enjoyed themselves and they all passed life and they all thought they're never going to die. This is a deception which Allah has placed in every human being. If we had to know the time we are going to die, then no one will live an enjoyable life. A person will live always with sorrow and grief. So Allah has made it hidden it away from us, so that a person can live a comfortable life. And at the time of death comes, it goes. And then also it mustn't happen that we know we're passing away at the age of 40, 39 years. We live in Kuna and Sen. Last year we quickly, like our students, exams, you don't study the whole year. Now last month, now your extra effort you're putting in there, you know exams is coming now. So Allah has hidden it away from us. So we don't know. So this is the reality of this world. We're all living this world. And what we're going in a qabr, that is the real place where a person has to answer. So a person must ponder over these things. Fani buto ka gham na kar, dekh ye gham hai arzi. Do not be sorrowful over these painted dollies, these vanishing beauties and these idols, because this sorrow also, if you have a sorrow, definitely you're a human being, you got desires in you, but this grief is temporary, for a short while. As Hazrat mentions, that one person wrote to Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayhi and said, you know what, Hazrat, when a woman is there and I want to look at her, I've got so much of desire. And I look at her, but now for 3 days I'm parishan. And I'm in turmoil and I'm thinking about her all the time. And Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote back to him and asked him that if you don't look at her, then what? He said, no, then I'm parishan for about 15, 20 minutes. Why I never look at her? So then Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah said, you make your own decision. Now what must you do? You'd rather be parishan and worried for a few minutes. Together with that, you are going to get the halawat of iman, the sweet taste of iman, and a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why must a person now look at those women and look at the enjoyable things of this world, and now a person is running after those, lusting after those women, so a person can even lose his iman. Ulama mentioned many, many waqiyahs also regarding this, where people lost their iman because of not looking after their gaze. He says, farhat do jaha jo hai, us ghame jaawida se mil. A person will get the enjoyments of both the worlds when he will join up this, when he will get the gham and sorrow of the everlasting sorrow. It is a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person will break this gham, then he will join it up with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how will a person reach Allah ta'ala when a person will break his heart? As Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah used to mention, that when a country is broken to pieces, then the government comes now. And they say, we are prepared to do the whole thing again. We'll do our buildings. Our Hazrat mentioned the beautiful example, in the Haram of Makkah Mukarramah, there are toilets there. And now the toilet, they want to extend the masjid, expand it, make it bigger. But the masjid cannot be made bigger unless the toilet is not broken. If the toilet is stubborn, he says, I want to stay as a toilet, then he will remain as a toilet. But if he's prepared, I'm prepared to be broken, when they will break him, then eventually that place will turn into Kaaba Sharif, into Masjid al-Haram. A person before he used to go there, he used to read, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Now he's going in the same place, Allahumma iftah li abwaaba rahmatik. That time he was going, he was fulfilling his needs and he was taking out his urine and stool. Now he's going there, 100,000 times reward he's getting. Because he was prepared to break himself. So that banda was prepared to break his heart. So the minute you break your heart, Allah Ta'ala will come in the heart of that person. Because now, as long as the heart is formed nicely, and all the other things are inside there, Allah will not come inside there. But once you break your heart and you crack it, now all the filth will come out. The glass just cracked, all the filth and dirt came out. Now the good stuff can come inside there. So once that heart is broken, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in the heart. Now join up that grief and sorrow of yours with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will get the enjoyment of both the worlds. rehta hai badguman kyu jahil se apne dur dur? Why are you staying far, far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the awliya Allah? See, because of badgumani, because of evil thoughts about them, because of jahalat and ignorance. Jaake kabhi tu ek bar hazrat ahle dil se mil. One time go and sit in the company of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan normally puts a person in deception, and he puts a lot of badgumani and bad thoughts in a person's heart, and he keeps the person away from the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah ta'ala. These people are very hard. Their lives are so boring. We are getting enjoyment, and he shows them a different life, a different enjoyment. But these people, if you go by them, if you change your life, if you become muttaqi and pious, you've got no enjoyment in life. You're going to live a very dreary life, a very boring life. Just go once and sit in their company and see what enjoyment you will get. Dilku milahe darde dil suhbati ahli darse. A person will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will get a heart, and he will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by staying in the company of the ahli dard, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Warna ta na ashna e dard akhtar hamare abo gil. Otherwise, oh akhtar, our bodies of made of sand and water, they were also completely unaware of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we stayed in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we came to know of this, yeah. And this is a normal system in the world. Anything in life, a person has to learn. The most basic thing in life, how to eat, you have to learn how to eat. How to go to the toilet, you have to learn how to go to the toilet. We don't remember, because we were so small at the time. But our parents had to teach us. If you never learned how to go to the toilet, it's impossible. So every single person in life has to learn everything. It's not, nobody can come and I know. Whatever we do in life, we learn it from somebody. Whatever it is, even a bad habit, a good habit, somebody, we saw somebody doing it in life, we picked it up. Somebody told us something, we learned like this here. And never mind us, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he had to be taught. Man by nature has to be taught. He was taught by Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam also, he was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every person has to learn. So in the basic things of this world, we have to learn. So things of our deen, how can a person say, I learned the deen myself? He also has to learn deen. And then to learn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is something which cannot be seen, which is abstract. To a greater extent, a person has to learn from somebody. So when this person is sitting in the company of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person, he will attain this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give myself and all of us tawfiq and ability, that this must become the object of our life. As Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi just mentioned this beautiful points he mentioned, yeah. There's four things. To get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's four things a person must do. He says one is, a person must, three things a person must do. One is, you make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily a person must make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, by means of this, yeah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into a person. And one is the sunnah zikr, a person must do. Inshallah, there's a lot of benefit, a lot of thawab in there. But one is the zikr which the mashayikh prescribe. And the object of prescribing the zikr is that a person now, he focuses only on one or two zikrs, and he's putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's getting a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this zikr is actually to build up your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the quality of ihsan, the level of ihsan. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba radiallahu anhum, just sitting in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sufficient for them to get this ihsan. But after that, because of weakness came in the people, so then the mashayikh had to prescribe different methods. How can this quality of ihsan be created, this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So in different methods they had used, using the Allah ta'ala open up their minds. So one was the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what the mashayikh prescribed. So this is very, very important to get our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to be punctual with it also, and to do it with love also. Person must do it. And Hazrat mentions here, one great zikr also is, Ya Halim, Ya Kareem, Ya Wasi al-Maghfira. Ya Halim, Ya Kareem, Ya Wasi al-Maghfira. He says, these three names a person must continue reading. One benefit is, he will get hilm and forbearance in him. He won't become angry very, very quickly. The other thing is, he will get, he become Kareem also. He will become very, very kind. And he will favor other people. And Ya Wasi al-Maghfira, he will become a person who will be easily able to forgive people. He will overlook people's faults very, very easily. So this is one very, very great zikr, as it mentions, for see people who got spiritual sicknesses. Ya Halim, Ya Kareem, Ya Wasi al-Maghfira. Hazrat used to say, we must read it in Ramzan. Normally we read the kitab, he read us in a great abundance. And then the second way of, is to think about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily, to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties. Allah says, he made for you the heart, wassam'a wal-absara wal-afida la'allakum tashkurun. In our whole life, he made our eyes, our ears, our eyes, ears, and our heart, so that you can make shukr. Allah says, I made the day and the night, so you must make shukr and thank Allah ta'ala. Who thanks Allah ta'ala for the day and night? Who thanks Allah ta'ala for these bounties? One whole surah Allah ta'ala has mentioned, Surah An-Nahl. In their three quarter para, Allah mentions all his bounties, different bounties in the 14th para. Allah Ta'ala starts off with the Quran Sharif first bounty. Then Allah has given us life. Allah made us from sperm. Wow, beautifully Allah made us. Allah has given you animals. Allah has given you clothing. Allah has given you a house. Great detail Allah goes through. Your animals which you are driving. All of these things. Think about these bounties of Allah Ta'ala and make shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Automatically, a person will get love for the person who is doing favors to him. And the third thing which he mentions, which is the ruh and the soul of this year, is to go in the company of the Allah Walas, the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And he says, but when a person goes there, he must leave all his intelligence, etc. He must be like the donkey, a dead donkey which dies in the salt mine. When it dies, it becomes salt also, it turns into salt. Then the Mufti Azam also eats from that salt. But if the donkey stays alive, even one breath is in the donkey, then the donkey it'll never turn into salt. So a person doesn't say no, but what the Shaykh is saying, he doesn't understand. Very, very hard things he's saying. It doesn't make sense to me. But a person must accept what his Shaykh is telling him. And inshallah, in his thought, in obedience, there is very, very great barakat. Allah has placed a lot of barakat and blessings in obedience. One ajeeb point I learned recently, that one is ithaat, one is nafa, benefit, and one is obedience. Nafa is very, very, a person always looks at his nafa, is where I'm going to get benefit. But no matter how much of benefit the person can get by doing anything, by obedience, Allah Ta'ala has put barakat in the day. An example the ulama have given is like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the battle of Uhud, they saw their benefit. I'll get so much of booty money, this is the benefit I'll get, this is the benefit I'll get. But they made itaat. If they made itaat, they wouldn't have lost the battle. Itaat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Hudaybiyah, they were tested. It was itaat and it was benefit. We rather fight these people, we'll finish them up. We can see our nafa, we can see our benefit. But they made itaat, they listened. It doesn't make sense to us. Hazrat Umar, they were so angry, but they controlled themselves, their jazba and their desires. And they didn't fight those people. They listened to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Allah Ta'ala changed how many people accepted Islam thereafter in the 2 years. Because they made itaat. So in itaat, there's a lot of barakat Allah has placed. So in our mashayikh also, if we listen to them, one is, we see ourselves, a lot of benefit I'll get here. But if we leave our sayings and what our feelings are, and we listen to what our mashayikh say, inshallah Allah Ta'ala puts a lot of barakat and blessings in the day. And how a person will benefit, how a person will go forward, because of listening to them. Allah Ta'ala's system is such that Allah Ta'ala puts barakat and blessings in the day. So may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and ability. You get within us the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You were supposed to speak about takabbur and pride, but the shahr was something else Allah Ta'ala put it in the heart. So may Allah Ta'ala give myself and all of us tawfiq and ability to get the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and make this the object of our life. Inshallah, regarding this, we know next week, next weekend inshallah, will be the 6th, 7th and 8th of Shaban also, and of June. It will be the Islahi Jalsa in Peter Marisburg, starting from Jum'ah, Yomul Jum'ah, the Jum'ah Salah. Atul Yomul Ahad, Zuhar Salah, on said Sunday. So humble request for all the brothers inshallah to try to join, try to participate in the and to come for the program. And inshallah, our monthly majlis will not be this week. This is the end of the month, first week of the month. But the monthly majlis inshallah will be the following week. It is after the Islahi Jalsa, then the Yomul Khamis Thursday night, inshallah Yomul Jum'ah, Laylatul Jum'ah, Hazrat will be giving a program in Lodium on the 15th of Shaban, Lodium. And inshallah that Yomul Laylatul Sabt on Friday night will be in Homestead Park. And on Yomul Sabt and Yomul Ahad, Saturday, Sunday, inshallah the program will be here. So this month we are delaying it for 2 weeks. So after 2 weeks, inshallah the program will take place. Inshallah, make a little zikr. Dua.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب گن درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل اور ان سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جگر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله لا إله الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نرای مستانا خوشمی آیدم تابد جانا چنی می بایدم الله جل جلاله تعالی شانه الله 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 جل جلاله تعالى شانه
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم افتح خفاء على قلوبنا وذكرك واتم علينا بنعمتك واسمع علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. يا أيها الأخوة العالمين جو كوش سنة اسمان بكرنے کے توفیق انصفاء مہیا ہماری حضرت کی قدر اور پوری پوری اطاعت کی توفیق نصیب فرما حضرت کے نقش قدم پر چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما حضرت کی عمر دراز فرما آپ کو پوری دنیا اور کے فیض کو عام و تام فرما یا الہ العالمین رحم کرم والا معاملہ فرما صحت و عافیت حضرت کو خوب خوب صحت و عافیت سے پوری دنیا میں یا الہ اور کے فیض کو عام و تام فرما یا الہ العالمین رحم کرم والا معاملہ فرما یا الہ العالمین جلد سے جلد خیر و عافیت سے ہماری اصلاح فرما دیا یا الہ العالمین رحم کرم معاملہ فرما صغیرہ کبیرہ اسمال بگ جان بوجھ کے دانست سب گناہ معاف فرما دیا اللہم انی اسلک حبک وحب من یحبک والعمل الذی یبلی وحبک ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقه محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ اجمعین برحمتك يا رب.